Welcome to the Lion's Tribe. I am Pastor Jimmy Odukoya. I pray this episode blesses you and it reminds you to become the lion that God has called you to be. Be blessed.
Today we're going to somehow, I find myself, it's like we didn't plan it, but somehow it's like in this new season of my life, it's series. Everything is series. Can't I just preach message one? Let's just finish. But alas, I find myself doing series. So we're starting a new series today. And we are starting, and we're going to call this one The Birthing Process. The Birthing Process. Somebody say The Birthing Process. You know, all too, how many people have ever heard somebody say, I am pregnant with promise? Has anybody ever heard that? You know, and a lot of times we talk about being pregnant with promise and bringing to fruition the things that God has spoken over us or concerning us. But how many people know that birthing is a process? Now, for anyone who, and I'm sure the women in here who have been pregnant, can I get a witness? Anyone who has been pregnant in here and delivered babies, can I get a witness? I'm sure it resonates with them deep down. Birthing is a process. And even if you've not been pregnant before, you know somebody who has been pregnant, birthing is a process. So how do you become pregnant with promise? And when we are pregnant with promise, how do we bring this promise into fruition? Today I'm going to use Mary as a backdrop. Because I think Mary is a prime example of someone who was pregnant with promise, both literally and figuratively. Amen? She received a promise, both literally and figuratively. And she birthed a promise, both literally and figuratively. Are you with me? Let's turn really quickly to Luke 1. Let's start there. Luke 1. We know the story. And let's go to about verse 31. Because of time. Luke 1:31. Put it on the screen. And a bit of context, Mary is living her life, minding her business. Everything is good. Everything is great. Everything is gravy. All of a sudden, she has a visitation. And an angel comes to her and brings her tidings of good news. I don't know about you. I don't know if those new, if I receive the news as good. Because whether you know it or not, sometimes God's plan for your life will completely jack up your whole world. In other words, it will turn your life upside down. Because a lot of times we have our own agenda for what we want to do with our lives. We have an idea of how our lives are going to be. If you ask me what I was going to be when I was younger, I was going to be an aeronautical engineer. Yes, I was going to be an aeronautical engineer. And then some point, when I was going to university, I was like, hey, you know, okay, I'm going to do computer science. You know, I'm going to be cool, computers. And then I started taking computer science. I realized that programming is not for me. That programming life is not for me. Just be sitting down. And when we were programming, it was back in the day, those who know anything about computing and programming, when you're writing Java program on MS-DOS, all these Java environments, all these ones that we have AI now, it will just put everything for you. We didn't have that. You will go and open Notepad, C prompt, and start to type. Hey! And then you can be there, you will run a whole program, debug it, and you will wait. And it can be an error. And one error can be because there was a space between your semicolon and comma. You'll be there for 2 hours. God punished the devil. I realized very quickly that that life was not for me. So I said, you see this computer science thing? It's like, we're going to shelve it. And I said, okay, let's do MIS, Management Information Systems. Let's do a bit of computing, a bit of business, you know. After all, I said, let's not deceive ourselves. Let's just leave computing completely. So let's just focus on business. So I did business. Came out, was consulting, I was in Accenture for a bit, and then went into oil and gas. And after oil and gas, we went into public trainings for corporates in innovation, leadership, and management. Yeah, so your pastor goes to school now. You know, we say, You know, when we went into innovation, leadership, and training management, we started a company. It was me and Pastor Shobo. We were a two-man army, but we had a heavy board. Heavy board. All my uncles, aunties, pastors, they were in my board. They didn't have any say. How many years of experience do you have? 60 years of experience because of our board. Yes, as you can see here, Pastor Blessing Awoshika, Pastor Ebukuma, she's our board member. Do you know how I use that name? You see? Pastor Rogo, Pastor Paise, they didn't even know I was using them. All of them, we used them. With our full chest. Pastor Lasher, we used all of them in Dangote boardroom to collect tender, and we won. Yes. Anyways, lest I digress. So, I had plans for my life, then I fell into acting. I just fell into it. I'm serious. It was not a plan. I fell into it. They were shooting a movie in church one day. I said, guys, I can act. Okay, are you sure? Yes, give me a role. Desmond said, you're good. Try it. I said, if there's any space, let me know. That's how my acting journey began. 6 years later, I'm in Hollywood. You know, yes, you can clap. It's not easy. It's never been done. It's God. I appreciate God, yes. Not in this part of the world, you know. You know, my life is going good. I'm like, okay, holy, let's do it. Let's go there. And then next thing you know, God said, hold up, come here. And ladies and gentlemen, I find myself here. So, all that to say, the plans God has for your life will jack your plans up. Mary was living her life. Everything was good. Everything was great. And then the angel appears to her. And in verse 31, he says to her, what does he say? He says, listen carefully. You will what? Conceive in your womb and give birth to a son, and you shall name him. He says, listen carefully. You will conceive. She's like, well, hold on. hold up. How can this be? How will I do this without a man? And he tells the Holy Spirit will come upon you and will empower you, will come over you, and then you conceive and you... Wow. And that began the process of her birthing. You see, the first, what you will find that in pregnancy, there are three trimesters, right? The first trimester is what? Conception. So let me say conception. The second trimester, we'll call it growth or developmental. Or development or growth, and the third one we will call delivery. Somebody say delivery. So today we'll be dealing with the first trimester. Somebody say conception. And so he says to her, you will conceive. And I asked myself a question, and every time I read, I always try to understand the words being used in the original context. So I pulled out my Strong's, looked at the Greek meaning for the word conceive. And the Greek word for conceive is sulambano. And sulambano means, interestingly, the first thing I saw, it says conceive means to seize or to take one as prisoner. The word conceive means to seize or to take one as prisoner. So I wrote down very quickly, I said, to conceive anything or anyone, that which must be conceived must seize you, must take hold of you as its prisoner. I'll say it again. To conceive anything or anyone, that which must be conceived must seize you and must take hold of you as its prisoner. What are you saying? Even biologically, you would find that once you have an embryo or a fetus, for it to grow and develop, to be conceived as a baby, what happens? There must be a season. What do you mean? There is a process called implantation. Are you with me? And with implantation, what happens? The fetus takes prisoner of the uterus wall and holds on to it. And until the time of delivery, doesn't let go. Somebody say, to seize. If you will conceive anything, it must take hold of you and seize you as its prisoner. Look at Philippians 3:12, Amplified Version. Let me show you something. Philippians 3:12, everything I said must back it up by scripture. Philippians 3:12. Now this is Paul speaking. He says this, not that I have already obtained it. This goal of being Christ-like or having already been made perfect, but I actively what? Press on so that I might take hold of that perfection for which Christ Jesus did what? Took hold of me and made me his own. Paul is saying here, I must seize that which I've been seized by. You see, Christ has seized me and taken a hold of me, and so now I must hold on to the one that has held me. Look at Proverbs 6:20 to 22, Amplified Version. Proverbs 6:20 to 22. What does it say? My son, be guided by your father's God-given commandments, instructions, and do not reject the teachings of your, what does he ask you to do? Bind them continually upon your heart in your thoughts. And do what? Tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they, the godly teachings of your parents, will guide you. When you sleep, they will keep watch over you. And when you are awake, they will what? There you go. You see, these words saying, take these things and bind them. Become a prisoner to these things. Let it conceive. Let it hold on to you. Let it seize you. Bind them around your heart. Tie them around your neck. And I wrote down, a lot of us have not seen the birth of our promise because the word has not taken us as prisoners. We have not been seized by the word that God has given to us. It has not taken hold of us. We have not bound it around our necks. We have not bound it around our hearts. It has not held us captive. And then I wrote on to say, you see, when we're talking about being seized or being taken captive, you cannot be seized or taken prisoner without surrender. Somebody say surrender. Whether it is forcefully or willfully, there is no seizing without surrender. When somebody has been found guilty, what happens? They tell you, surrender, turn yourself in. So they go and you go and surrender yourself. Or if you're trying to run, if they catch you and they tell you to freeze, and last, surrendering is part of the equation. Are you with me? I did an illustration. I'll do it very quickly. PD, please come. A lot of us, like I said, the reason why we haven't seen or experienced the birth in this first process, please step up here, is because we have not been taken prisoner by the word that God has given. And we said, for any of that to happen, you must have surrender. Right? How many people know this song? Lord, I give you my, I give you my soul. We can sing this song, go. Look at the beautiful. Oh, wait. What about this one? I surrender to you, Jesus. It's sweet in your mouth, Abby. It's sweet. You just feel it. Now, this is most of us. This is our lives. This is God. He wants to take hold of us. So he holds on to us, Abby. Lord, I give you my life. I give you my soul. That's it. I live for you. God, how far now? This is not what we plan. Take now. Every step that I take, every moment I wake. That is a lot of us. Because we talk about surrender, but we want to be in control. Thank you, sir. And the only way
that anything we can become prisoner and bound is when we surrender. Are you with me? For Jesus to conceive eternal salvation for all of humanity, he had to surrender. Matthew 26:39, put it on the screen. He'd been sent to come and die, to redeem all of eternity, sorry, humanity for eternity. But he had to pay the ultimate price. This was the will of the Father. This was what he'd been sent to do. And he finds himself in this position. What does he say? After going a little farther, he fell face down and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, that is consistent with your will, because I know that I am a prisoner of your will. So if it's consistent with your will, let this cup pass from me." Now, what does he say? "Yet, not as I will." Somebody say surrender. Right there in the moment, "Lord, I know I'm a prisoner of your will. So right now, for me to allow you to conceive glory, for me to allow you to fulfill your purpose, I surrender my will unto yours." Let's go back to Mary. How did conception happen for Mary? It started when she got a word. She received it from the Lord. The Lord says, "This is what will happen. You've been favored. You've been chosen to do this. How will it happen? The Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will conceive. And you will name him Jesus." Now look at what she says in 38, Luke 1:38. She says this. Mary said what? "Behold, I am a servant of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." You see, that right there was the moment of surrender. In that moment, she let go of everything that she had planned. She had planned to be betrothed to Joseph. She had her own plans. Everything looked good. Everything was going dandy. She had kept herself for him. She had a beautiful life plan. But in the moment when the will of God showed up, she said, "You know what? I don't have all the details. I don't know what the future looks like. But I say to you, let it be unto me according to your word." And the moment she surrendered, that was the moment the word seized and took a hold of her. And once the word took a hold of her, the Bible says she conceived. And that is where conception began. There was a joining. There was a coming together. There was an alignment. And with surrender comes agreement. And this conception, we know, led to both a physical and a spiritual delivery. Because we know that God was fully God and what? Fully man. And I began to study this, and I dare say that I found a framework of how we conceive anything, both physical and spiritual. What is this framework? You need the word. I wrote down the word plus surrender equals delivery. You receive the word. You surrender to it, and when you surrender to it, you come into agreement with it. And once you come into agreement with the word, conception happens, and then you begin to conceive the promise, and that is what leads to delivery. Somebody say delivery. Now, I said word plus surrender equals delivery. Let's talk about words for a moment. I love words. Lord, words, a beautiful thing. I mean, can you imagine the world without words? What if we couldn't communicate? We couldn't articulate what we wanted to say, how we feel, what we wanted to do? We'll be trapped without words. It is the vehicle through which we express our emotions, our thoughts, our feelings. Words. Words are so powerful because words are physical and words are spiritual. Words are spiritual because you cannot catch it, you cannot destroy it. When words are uttered, you can't take it back. Words are not trapped in space and time. Word can go beyond, it can travel distances. It can cut through spiritual realms. What are you talking about? Words. And God said, "Let there be," and there was words. Words are just spiritual. No, they're physical too. Words are physical. You know that saying? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. It's a lie. It's a lie. Live life long enough, you can see the effect of words. There's certain words that certain words that have been spoken over us, and we don't even know. We have lived under the weight of those words for our lives. Certain things that are said to you, and they say the same things you say to a man that he can never recover from. Words. Words are powerful. Words can give life. Words can kill. Life and death, the Bible says, are in the power of what? The tongue. Words. Words can have a physical. How are words physical? When you speak, you produce sound waves, longitudinal waves that can be measured. They're physical. There was an experiment done where scientists took water and they spoke beautiful words into one petri dish. Beautiful words, affirming words, encouraging words. And they looked under the microscope and they let it freeze and they saw beautiful crystalline symmetrical structures, looked like snowflakes. It was beautiful. And the same way, they went to a petri dish and spoke evil words, horrible words, and they were asymmetrical, they were horrible, they were scattered and disjointed. And it showed the impact of what words can have on us. Words are powerful. Word plus surrender equals what? Delivery. So the question becomes, what word are you listening to? The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, put it on the screen. For the word of God, Hebrews 4:12, is living. It's living. That's why it says he sent his word and healed. The word of God is living. It is active. It is not sluggish. It moves. It is full of what? Power. Making it operative, energizing, and what? Effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating as far as division of the soul and the what? I said words can travel through spiritual realms. Penetrating between soul and spirit, the completeness of a person, and of both joints, and to be able to get between a joint and the marrow. The deepest part of what? Our nature, exposing and judging the very thoughts and intentions of the heart. Somebody say words. The Bible says in John 1:1, in the beginning, before all time, was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God Himself. He was continually existing in the beginning, co-eternally with God. All things were made and came into existence through the Word. Everything came into existence through the Word. And without the Word, not even one thing was made that has come into being. In the Word was life and the power to bestow life. And this life was the light of men. And this light shines in darkness, and darkness did not understand it or overpower it or appropriate it or absorb it and is unreceptive to it. Somebody say words. We are inundated with all sorts of information. You go out into the world, you are being bombarded with all kinds of information. What we hear, what we see, and all of these things are taking up space in our mind. That's why it talks about renewing your mind. Washing with the water of the Word. Because there's so many things competing for us. That space in our heart. Job said, I've made a covenant with my eyes. You got to be careful what you see. It says the eyes are the lamp of the soul. I remember this song we used to sing in children's church. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. just came to me. Carefully to eyes what you see, because the Father up above is something, something, something. Be carefully to eyes what you see. Those songs.
Your eyes can lead you into trouble. And once it enters your mind, it takes up space in your heart and forms a picture in your mind, and the devil is good. In the middle of worship, Lord, I give you. Shh, shh, hey. Flashback. Come on, will you keep quiet? Who are you giving? Because your eyes are the lamp to the soul. If the lamp is rotten, what happens to the whole body? What are you allowing into your ear gates? Because everything you hear takes up space in your heart. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if faith comes by hearing, fear can come by hearing too. What are you listening to? Let me give you another illustration. Peter, please come. It is important whose words you are listening to, because it can make the difference in your life. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. The more you listen for God's voice, the more you dwell in the word, the more you can hear his voice and recognize his voice. Check this out. Don't move. Don't move. Don't move. Wait, come. Can anybody see me? Should I go on stage? Is this better? Should I go on stage? Is stage better? Or which is better? Stage. Let's go on stage. It's good to have big stage. Yeah, stand, please. Peters, whatever you do, do not move. So I've given him a word, and I've asked him not to move, right? He's not moving, right? Cool. Whatever you do, don't move. He didn't move. The guy tried, sir. Because if not me, I'm going to say, Pastor, I'll fuck. But he didn't move because I gave him a word. And that word was not to move. Now, depending on who you listen to, you see, if this word was from God and I said, do not move, that not moving could be his protection. Sometimes God will say to you, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You do not have to fight this battle. Stand still. Do not move. Whatever you see, do not move. So he didn't move, and he obeyed. Now imagine if this was a word from the devil and I said, don't move. That him not moving is stagnation. That not moving is fear. That not moving is paralysis. And the difference between the position of not moving comes from the one who spoke the word. It is important that you hear, what word are you listening to? What word are you dwelling on? What word? Because it all begins with a word. Mary, blessed are you amongst women. You shall conceive. It was a word. And then she says, let it be unto me. Thank you, sir. According to your word. Word plus surrender equals what I said, delivery.
So what word are you dwelling on? Because word of the Lord is what you conceive with. The word says, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He says that I am head and not tail. I am on top and not beneath. Let the weak say I am strong. Let the poor say I am rich. I am never without help. When they say there is a casting down, I say there is a lifter up. Because he is the glory and the lifter of my head. What word are you dwelling on? How do you explain Mary receiving a word? And she says, let it be unto me. And then next thing you know, she takes in. How do you explain that? And it is very simple. It cannot be explained. The only one that can explain that is the God that became flesh and dwelt amongst men. It is impossible to explain. It is beyond human understanding. I'll take it a step further. Even the whole process of giving birth is a mystery. How do you explain a fetus becoming a baby? Where do the bones come from? Hold on a second. Ecclesiastes 11:5. Put it on the screen. Are you still with me? Ecclesiastes 11:5. It says this. Just as you do not know the way and the path of the wind, or how the bones are formed in the womb of a pregnant woman, even so you do not know the activity of God who makes what? His ways are not our ways. Once you begin to realize that he operates on a whole different level of wisdom and thinking, you find it very easy to surrender. Lord, take control. Take captive. Seize me. Control me. Bind me. I surrender. Because clearly, I do not know what you know. I cannot explain what you can do. That's why we call him the God of the impossible. Because it's impossible to our mind. But with man it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Put up Psalms 139 verse 15. Psalm 139 verse 15 says this. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was being formed where? When I was being formed in secret and intricately and skillfully formed, as if embroidered with many colors in the depths of the earth, when you were being formed in secret, you were not hidden from him. The whole process of birth is a mystery. And what does that tell you? There are certain parts of the process that will always remain a mystery that has nothing to do with you. So God does not need your help in the birthing process. How do you explain how bones are formed? It has nothing to do with you. When you were being formed in secret, did you have a say? Once you realize that there is an extent to where my power can reach and where my knowledge can go and where my understanding can take me, I have no problem to say, Jesus, take the wheel. I cannot do it on my own because I don't even have the capacity to do it in the first place. Are you still with me? Words plus surrender equals what? Delivery. The next thing I wrote about this conception process, I wrote this down. You see, in this part of pregnancy, when conception happens, you see, conception is the part of the process where it is meant to be known and not seen. I'll say that again. Conception is the part of the process where it's meant to be known and not seen. The problem is a lot of us are trying to see what is meant to be known and show what is meant to be hidden. I'll say that again. The problem is, a lot of us are trying to see what is meant to be known and show what is meant to be hidden. You see, when a woman conceives and finds out that she's pregnant in the first trimester, there is nothing that indicates that she's pregnant physically. But there is a knowing that takes place in her mind. And this knowing changes everything about her. It changes who she is, where she goes, how she walks, how she talks, how she lives. Because she is carrying something on the inside. This is part of the process where it's meant to be known and not meant to be shown. And a lot of us, when we receive a promise from God, the first thing we want to do is show. No. There's a time and a season for everything under heaven. Go back to Mary. When Mary said, "Let it be unto me according to thy word," nothing changed on the outside. She looked like she was still the same old Mary. But Mary understood in that moment when she said, "Let it be unto me," she had become in an instant the mother of Jesus. And what does it say she did? She went to Elizabeth. Because the angel said, "Even your cousin Elizabeth is pregnant." Put up Luke 1:56. It says, she went to Elizabeth. And a lot of times we glance over this. But look at what it says. And she stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months. And then she returned home. She understood that this was the part of the promise that was meant to be hidden and not shown, not seen. When God will go and anoint David as the king of Israel, called him out from the field, brought him in, poured the oil on his head, and says, "You are now anointed king over Israel." He knew that was the promise. The oil hit his head. There was surrender. Once the oil hit his head, he was now king of Israel. It was part of the promise where he knew, but it was not yet time to be seen. And understand that he got up and nothing around him changed. And he still went back to the field. But he was carrying the oil of the king. But he understood that this is the part of the process. In the conception process, it is meant to be known and not seen. This is not when you should show. This is part of the promise that it must be hidden. This was the problem that Joseph had. And we don't understand that some of us are so desperate to let people know what is going on. We want to show, and showing will put us in danger. What happens if you try to take a fetus in the first trimester and bring it out? It comes out prematurely and it dies. Because it is not time for the world to see the promise. It's meant to be stewarded. It's meant to be hidden. What if David went right into the palace and said, "Oh, you supper. Saul, I have the oil on my head. Get up from the throne." In one instant, the promise and his life cut short. Did he have the anointing on his head? Yes. Had he received the word? Yes. Had he come into agreement? Yes. But he understood that this is a time to be hidden. This is the problem Joseph had. The Bible says Joseph received the dream. The Lord showed Joseph a dream. What happened? Genesis 37 verse 5. And Joseph says, hey, guess what? I have a dream, a song to sing, to help me know in everything. I believe in angel. Genesis 37, 5. Now Joseph dreamed a dream and he told his brothers. And what did they do? A lot of us are so desperate for the validation of others to validate the dream that we want to go and show what is meant to be hidden. And it puts us in trouble because the word is not for them. The word is for you. Conception is not for everyone. It's for you. And you know what? You have to be comfortable in your conception season. You have to be okay with just knowing where you don't get to show yet. There is a time and season for everything under heaven. Don't get frustrated because nothing around you seems to change. You don't want a premature promise. This is the time in the process that is meant to be known and not shown. Now in this time of conception, anyone who's been a mother before, an indication that you have taken in is you begin to feel uncomfortable inside yourself. What do I mean? Some people start to throw up. Some people start to sleep more. Some people, the food that you love begins to irritate you. The things that you hate, you now want it. Can I get a witness? Some people will be throwing up constantly, throwing first trimester. For some people, it's not fun at all. It is plagued with internal discomfort. I wrote down another indication when you are now conceiving, where you are now in the process of conception. Another indication is when you start to feel discomfort internally. That's how you know that you are carrying a promise. You see, when you don't feel comfortable doing the things you used to do before, going to the places you used to go, smoking what you used to like to smoke, hanging with the people you used to hang with, all of a sudden, what used to excite you begins to irritate you. And you can't understand what is happening because you are carrying promise. And so something on the inside is now no more comfortable because something inside you has changed. And you cannot begin to wait. How do you explain to somebody I am carrying promise? How do you explain to them? The places I used to want to go, I don't want to go away. And you have to be okay because this is the season in your life that you will lose certain people. Once you know you are carrying promise, you can't move the way you used to move before. You start noticing, do you want to? I know I'm okay. But you used to drink. No, I'm okay. Shoti loyo. It's like you're always sleeping. You start looking for signs. There's something, you're moving differently. Can they tell that something about you has changed by the way you move? Because the Bible says that this sinful nature, it says that flesh now begins to war with the spirit. Put on Galatians 5:17. It says this, Galatians 5:17. It says, for the sinful nature and his desires, which is opposed to the spirit, and the desires of the spirit opposes the sinful nature. For these two, the sinful nature and the spirit, are in direct opposition to each other. They are continually in conflict. So that you as believers do not always do whatever good things you want to do. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together unless they agree? You have to be okay to lose certain friends because not everyone is pregnant with promise. Remember, you are no longer on your own accord. You have surrendered. Lord, I give you. How do you birth promise? How do you birth purpose? Lord, I surrender my will. I let your word take hold of me. I align myself with your word. I enter into agreement. And so now I'm now a steward of every promise that you have said to me. And I understand that there is a season in my life where just knowing what you have said is okay. You don't have to try to prove to anybody that you carry the oil on your head. In due time, when the baby has come into fullness of time, the baby will come forth. God told David he'll be king. It took over 15 years before he sat on the throne. God told Abraham he'll be a father at 75. Isaac didn't come until he was 100. But God, I already have my agenda, my calendar, my time. Remember, you're not the one driving the car. If you have surrendered your life to him, there is no agenda and time. He gets to set the time, not you. If you work for somebody and he says, meet me at this place at so-and-so time, it is when he tells you to show up that you show up. You don't get to tell him when you want to show up. Yes? So if we understand that in every process, we surrender our ways, our thoughts, our deeds, we take the pressure of trying to tell God when and tell God how. And you look at yourself and say, hey, look at my neighbors. Look at everybody's process is different. Elizabeth had been barren for a long time, but she got hers different from Mary when she got hers. Everybody's story is unique, but the one who has given you the word knows how to bring the baby in due time. But it's important that the first thing you do as I close is you latch onto the word. What is that word that God has given to you? What is that word he's spoken over you? And you let that word take you prisoner. Let it control you. Let it overtake you. Let it lead you. When you are bound, whatever binds you leads you. Remember. And be in complete surrender. Not one hand on the wheel. Not my will. So that means your prayer changes. Lord, what would you have me do? Lord, where would you have me go? Lord, where would you have me be? Not God I want, not God send, not God do. God, what would you have of me? Lord, what would you have me say? Complete surrender. And when you have the word, in surrendering to him, knowing that there are certain parts of the process that you have no control over, God does not need your help. You cannot help God. He is God all by himself. And being okay with the process and knowing that it will take time and knowing when you are in the stage where you are meant to be hidden in the fullness of time, when the time has come. Isaiah 66 says, before the labor pains, when the baby is ready to come out, before the pains, God has said this month that the baby will come forth.
Thank you for listening to this episode. I pray that you were blessed. And if you enjoyed what you heard, please be sure to subscribe. And if you know a fellow lion that needs to join the tribe, please be sure. Send them this link. Share this episode. God bless you.